What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Down to the Wire. We are counting down the days to football, Mason. What is it, like 15, 17 days-ish?
Oh, Cameron, you're overstepping week zero. Vanderbilt, dude,
No one cares. No one cares. No one cares about Vanderbilt, as you mentioned last week in our SEC East preview. We'll roll the tape if we need to, Mason. No one cares.
Look, Vandy versus Hawaii, who's not getting hyped? Come on.
No one is getting hyped for that. No one.
Have you seen the pictures from Vandy Stadium?
No.
Dude, they're doing construction right now. And it looks looks like a wasteland behind their stadium right now, and they're 11 days away from their first home game, and it looks
it'll
awful.
Never be ready in time.
Oh god,
it'll never be ready in time.
God, no.
This is the
no
Vandy shot. Way. Well, we're coming down to the wire here, Mason. We did our SEC West and East preview the last 2 weeks, so if you are behind and haven't checked those out, go ahead and go check those out. We went through all teams in the division and then at the end gave our own order of finish in those. And so, yeah, it's a really good, informative podcast. And we also, I think, also spent like a total of an hour between the two episodes talking about conference realignment crap. And so we're not going to talk about it again this week, Mason, because I'm done with it.
You mean you're done with the biggest story to happen in the past like 4 years?
I'm done with it. No more.
No, I agree. Get it out of here. Can we just get on the field at this point?
Yeah, just get us on the field and we'll be happy. The only like real bit of news that's come out besides the AP poll coming out yesterday, which we'll kind of briefly go over here in a few minutes. But the only other news was Jim Harbaugh was going to be suspended 4 games and then now isn't suspended for 4 games. And they're pushing it to be in 2024, a decision to be made. Who knows if he's even going to be here in 2024 or if he bolts to the league. This is just the weirdest thing, dude. Like, honestly, if I'm Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, I would have been like, yeah, just suspend me for the first 4 games this year because we play nobodies and it's not a big deal. But
yeah, so what I took away from it is basically the NCAA got titty hurt because Jim Harbaugh is sitting there joking around about a 4-game punishment that meant nothing to him because they're playing 4 garbage schools. And he's sitting there saying, I'm going to let a different assistant coach every single game. And we're going to see what happens from there. But the NCAA got heard about it. They rejected Michigan's 4-game suspension of him. And here we are now. But I agree with you. I totally see that he will probably take the Pete Carroll route and jump to the NFL right before the suspension actually kicks in.
Dude, the NCAA is just a joke, dude. Like, let's just get rid of it, please. That would be, I think, better for everybody involved. It's just, there's no consistency, and there never will be. And it's just really, really annoying.
And they have no power at this point anymore. So it's going to be interesting to see if Michigan stomping their feet, what happens against the NCAA with it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I won't hold my breath. I mean, honestly, I still don't think much is really going to happen at this point. I mean, who cares? Oh, still, like, I just don't care anymore.
Don't buy anybody cheeseburgers, John Harbaugh, stupid. Jim Harbaugh, so whichever stupid. Harbaugh you are.
So stupid. Okay, so let's go ahead then and get into the AP Top 25. Also, if you listened last week, you would have heard our Down to the Wire poll came out. I'm not going to rehash it. We'll probably post it sometime on social media here soon for you guys to see it in our preseason poll. But the AP Top 25 came out this week, and it's pretty similar to the coaches poll. I mean, there are like some flips here or there, but I mean, it's very, very similar, which at this point you kind of expect, but I'll kind of go through it real quick. They have Georgia at 1, Michigan at 2, Ohio State 3, Alabama 4, and LSU rounding out the top 5. The only difference there between that poll and the coaches poll is they have Alabama and Ohio State flipped. So that's the one difference there. USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, and Washington round out the top 10. The only flip there, they actually have Washington at 10 instead of Tennessee. They have Tennessee down at 12. So the next five is Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Utah, and Oregon. The only difference there, like honestly, the only difference really is Tennessee is at 12 instead of Texas. I mean, it's just a little bit of shuffling there between Washington, Texas, and Tennessee between the two polls. Your next five are Kansas State, TCU, Oregon State, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. And then rounding out the top 25, North Carolina, Ole Miss, somehow Texas A&M, Tulane, and your favorite, Mason, the Iowa Cyclones. Hawkeyes, Cyclones. Cyclones, I got Iowa State on the mind, I'm sorry. Iowa Hawkeyes.
Did they fire their offensive coordinator? I have no idea.
I don't think they did.
Because it's the head coach's son.
Yeah. He owns that place, dude.
I don't even have words. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, look. Same thing as a coach's poll. You still have five Pac-12 teams in the top 25. But yet, the conference is dying. That's a shame. That this is probably the best that the Pac-12 has been in a very, very long time. And yet they're going to be dead next year.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Let's go ahead and get into it then, Mason, because we're going to kind of talk conferences and some teams to watch out for and all that kind of fun stuff. So let's just go into it since you just brought up the Pac-12. They are going to be last year's Big 12. If you paid attention to college football last year, the most fun conference to watch last year was by far the Big 12 because of just the chaos that was going on every single week in that conference. That is going to be the Pac-12 this year. And like you said, there's five teams ranked in the top 25 from the Pac-12 in both polls. We're just going to focus on the AP. The highest ranked team is USC at 6, which I'll get into them in just a minute. They have Washington at 10, Utah, Oregon at 14 and 15, and then Oregon State at 18. And then that doesn't even take into account UCLA, who's been fairly solid the past couple of years under Chip Kelly. What else is there to say? I mean, it's going to be one of those conferences that's going to seem like it's just going to cannibalize itself. And then people are going to come back at the end of the season. Oh, the Pac-12 sucks. It's like, well, no, they might not have gotten a team into the playoff, but they were all very good. It just was happenstance because they all like ended up playing each other and cannibalizing each other. You know, it's going to be like one of those, I think. So it's going to be super fun to watch. So this is definitely going to be the season. If you don't usually stay up and watch college football on Saturday nights, this is the year to do it. Cause it's also like basically the last time you're going to get to with the Pac-12's last hoorah. And what a way to start off, man, with five in the top 25.
Yeah. Look, like I think the biggest eye opener right now for the Pac-12 is the quarterbacks, man. Like, honestly, like every single one of the top five that you just named, they have some of the best quarterbacks in the nation right now. I mean, like, you have Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, DJ, and Cam Rising still at Utah. Like, that's just going to be like, I can't even think of the word right now, but just back and forth all the time out there at the Pac-12. Like, it's just going to be really fun to watch. But yeah, like I agree with you completely. They're going to end up cannibalizing each other. Like it would not surprise me if they didn't get anybody in the Pac-12, but at the end of the season, we sit there and look and say like, hey, Utah, maybe Washington, maybe Oregon, like those three teams could have made it to the playoffs. Like they're very deserving. Their teams are good enough to get in the playoffs, but you're just sitting there and you have two losses and you can't flush the numbers at that point.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed, whether this was intentional or not, you left USC off of that potential maybe in the playoff. How do you feel about USC this year?
That was unintentional.
Okay. I was reading too much into it, I guess.
Yeah, that was unintentional. No, look, I'm kind of hesitant on USC this year. I do think they're going to be very good, but I mean, it's the same old story that it is every year with Lincoln Riley. Like, what's going to happen with the defense? They had a little bit of an improvement last year, but with Oklahoma, it was like he would take a little bit of an improvement, a few steps forward, a few steps back. Like he can never get the train rolling out there. And I'm kind of worried it's going to be the same thing at USC. He's probably gotten better talent in than he ever did at Oklahoma. So it's just going to be interesting if he can put one and two together and get the defense rolling along with the offense. And if he can do that, like, USC is going to be dangerous this year. I just don't know if he's committed to the defensive end like he is the offensive end.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing to knock him this year is, or in past years, has been defense. He's never played complementary football, has been the thing with Lincoln Riley. Defense has always been a struggle. It's never been good. And at this point, you kind of wonder, at what point is he going to flip the switch internally and be like, hey, we have to get better defensively. We have to. They're like, where I'm going to have to do whatever it is that I have to do to get better defensive talent. I have to get better defensive coaches. We are focusing all offseason on defense. I have the, like, obviously he has the offense covered every single year. It's always going to be good. He's always going to have a Heisman contender at quarterback. He's always going to have those things. The things he has never had, that is the reason why he has never won a playoff game, is defense. He came close against Georgia in the Rose Bowl with Oklahoma that year with Baker Mayfield. Since then, hasn't been close. So that, again, that, and for them to make the playoff this year, their defense has to drastically improve. Like, and I mean drastic, like they were one of, if not the worst defense in college football last year. They still made the conference championship, which they lost. And then they lost to Tulane in the bowl game. Like, Caleb Williams is great. He's going to be the number one pick of the draft, but you can't just do it with offense, especially. And this is really weird to say in a way, Mason, especially not in this league. You can't win with just offense anymore. You can't. No. When you have a schedule like they do. Let me just read off their schedule. It is very back heavy, very back heavy. They start off with San Jose State, Nevada, Stanford. Then they go to Arizona State, to Colorado. Then they play Arizona at home. And then here comes the gauntlet, Mason. To Notre Dame. Then they host Utah. They go to Cal. Then they host Washington. They go to Oregon. Then they host UCLA. That back half of the schedule from middle October on, maybe, like, you might have a little bit of break with Cal because it is Cal, but you have no breaks once you get mid-October with USC's schedule. Utah will punch you in the mouth. Notre Dame's going to punch you in the mouth. Oregon's going to punch you in the mouth. The only, like, if you can say any type of finesse team that's left out there is maybe Washington, because they just pass the ball like crazy with Michael Penix. But they can still score the ball. And if you can't stop them, you can't stop them. I mean, you play the top teams in the conference in the regular season, which you really didn't do last year. So it... it's possible, and this is kind of the team that I'm highlighting, this one of the teams I'm going to highlight, USC. Like, it's in the cards for them to lose four games this year with the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
8-4. So, how do you feel about Lincoln Riley if he goes 8-4 this year?
Oh, man. If he goes 8-4 with Caleb Williams, I think that's a big, big notch on his resume. Like, I think there's an argument to be made right now that Lincoln Riley is probably anywhere between the third to maybe sixth best coach in the nation right now. But the thing that's hanging in the balance for him is the defense. Again, like, we just talked about that, so I don't have to go too much more into that. But, like, you have to have some type of commitment to that end if you want to be one of the top end coaches. Like, I think if he comes out of this year and their defense is still terrible, I mean, you can't claim that dude as a top five coach. And if you're saying he's 8-4 this year too with Caleb Williams and their defense is going to suck, like, that, to me, that has to drop him big time.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely does. And the shine's going to wear off him, and you kind of wonder, what's the timeline look at USC with him being 8-4 with the Heisman Trophy winner and the odds-on favorite to win it again this year in Caleb Williams? The thing that would be devastating for this team is if Caleb Williams gets hurt. I mean, he got hurt at the end last year, which is why they didn't perform very well in the conference championship game, because his hamstring was destroyed. And you better hope and pray, if you're USC, that kid stays healthy. Because with him having all this money on the line, being a first overall draft pick, if there's if there's any question on him getting hurt, he's done. I just don't. He might be just one of those college competitors that you just love to see that wants to play for his team, which I would love to see. It's just in this day and age, you don't see a lot of that. So my expectation was, hey, if he tweaks an ankle, has another hamstring, he's done for the year, and this thing could get off the rails quick. I mean, they could lose. I mean, all the games except California. So that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 5 toss-up games, and they're all in the back half. They would lose all 5 of those without Caleb Williams. He might be able to win for sure, too. With Caleb Williams and a bad defense. But, I mean, you don't have improved defense, you're not making the conference championship.
No. They won't even sniff it if their defense is half as bad as it was last year.
And so with that, them being ranked number 6 in the preseason poll, you know, we did our poll last week. And now that I'm kind of thinking about it, I've been thinking about it a little bit more, I kind of wish I would have put USC down further. Because number 6, man.
That's high. Oh, here. So I got a question for you. So I heard something today that for the past, I think it was like 20 seasons or something like that, the teams in the top 10 of the original preseason AP poll, which is what just released yesterday, there's always been one team that has fallen out of the top 25 completely by the end of the season and has been unranked by the final poll at the end of the year. So which of the top 10 right now do you think that could be?
I mean, it's USC.
Yeah, I was just
thinking. It's USC that. Or the only other option is it's either going to be USC or Washington. It's going to be one of the Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, I think it has to be.
I don't think there's enough competition for Clemson, Florida State, Penn State to drop out. I think LSU and Bama with their heavy schedule, like I don't think there's any way they drop out. Same thing for Michigan and Ohio State and Georgia. I mean, Georgia's not going anywhere either. So, I mean, it's one of the Pac-12 teams. So,
yep.
But my money would be USC is what I put it on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you stack them up, Mason, and again, hypothetical, if they play Penn State right now, who are you picking?
Penn State.
If they play Florida State right now, who are you picking?
Probably Florida State.
If they play Clemson right now, who are you picking?
I'm definitely picking Clemson.
They play Washington right now, who are you picking?
I might lean USC in that one.
They play Texas.
I would probably go Texas.
Tennessee.
Would probably go Tennessee.
Notre Dame.
I think I would go USC in that one.
Okay, so
that's about where it ends.
We're talking about maybe being ranked at the 11 or 12 mark.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you'd ever pick them to go up or to beat LSU, Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, or Georgia. Like they're not even in that class right now.
Mm-mm.
But they're ranked 6 in both these polls. And I mean, they're pretty highly ranked in our poll too. Which
even with all basically every single team that's ranked in front of them right now, except for LSU and Michigan having quarterback question marks right now, like with Bama, Ohio State, and Georgia, I would still take every single one of them over USC without a doubt.
Yep. I mean, I would too. I get you have Caleb Williams. You have a great offense, but again, I mean, it comes out on defense and your lack of depth. So, So what's the team that you want to talk about, Mason? That's the Pac-12. Where else do you want to go?
Well, since we're in the Pac-12, why don't we just stay in the Pac-12? Because Oregon was actually going to be one of my teams I wanted to talk about. So Oregon coming back. Let me pull up this real quick. Last year. Well, I don't have their record in front of me, but I want to say they lost three games or something like that. The big thing for me about Oregon this year is Bo Nix is back after having a great season for him last year. Before the season, we were hating on Bo Nix because of how much he failed at Auburn, and it was a running joke for us. And then he comes out. He started off a little shaky.
Hey, remember last year whenever we started our fantasy thing for this and the quarterback that I picked was Bo Nix against Georgia?
Yeah, and then they got smoked.
And then they got smoked, no, so I would never trust him ever again. And then the rest of the season, he like blows up for something. Like,
he was awesome.
Know? They went 10-3 last year, by the way. 10-3.
So 10-3. Yeah. But Bo's back, and they have both of their running backs back, Bucky Irving and Noah Winnington. So I really do think that their offense is going to be very much improved this year. You add Trayshawn Holden. He transferred from Alabama. I'm honestly, like, for me with Oregon, I'm just a really big believer in Dan Lanning. I don't know where my blind trust in him is coming from. He was at Georgia before he went to Oregon, comes to Oregon, has a really good year, basically revamps Bo Nix, apparently. So I think that Oregon has a higher floor than USC does. USC might have the higher ceiling, but I think you're going to get more consistent all-around play out of Oregon this year. So like you said, with USC, like, there's a real chance they could go 8-4 this year. I think with Oregon, if they end the season 8-4, I'll be shocked. I currently have them going 10-2. But like you said, like, with the Pac-12 this year, there's just going to be so much cannibalization with them that it's kind of tough to pick and choose what you're going to be doing with the Pac-12. I like Oregon right now. I think it's going to come down to them in Washington at the end of the season. I just, man, like, what Bo did last year with the improvement that he showed, if he can build off of that this year, I think they're going to be really good. But yeah, I would go with Oregon right now in the Pac-12, probably, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, we'll get to our conference champion picks towards the end of the podcast, but there's a little preview for you. Oregon, I mean, it's a good pick. Oregon's a trendy pick. Bo Nix, I mean, this is – anytime you have a quarterback returning is always a big plus. And that's why the Pac-12 is going to be so good this year, is because all top five of these teams that are ranked in the preseason of the polls all have returning quarterbacks or a transfer quarterback that's played a lot of football in regards to Oregon State and DJ Uiagalelei. But Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Cam Rising, DJ, and I mean, you also have UCLA. They don't have a quarterback returning, but they have a competition going over there, and it's Chip Kelly. They're going to run the ball still. They're a solid team. So that's kind of if there's any dark horse to me in the Pac-12, it's going to be UCLA. So watch out for them, because, I mean, they're just solid. They might not win everything, but they're going to be the team that is going to throw the wrench and to anybody in this conference is going to be them, I think.
I think the reason nobody's really talking about them right now is just because, like you said, their quarterback battle going on. I mean, they lost DTR last year, and he was awesome for them. So you lose a guy like that, it's kind of hard to replace, but they're definitely sneaky this year.
Yeah, so let's move over to the Big Ten, Mason, and I'm just going to go ahead and call my shot now. Michigan wins the national championship. I'm calling it right now, okay? That's my team to win it this year. That's why I had them ranked number one. And I heard a stat recently that in the past 20 or so years, the team that was ranked preseason number one has won the national championship like two times?
Twice.
Two times in the past 20 years. I guess who's number one, Mason? Georgia. It's a curse. And so I'm going to Michigan this year, and they are solid everywhere. You have J.J. McCarthy coming back. Your offensive line is one of the best, if not the best, in the country. You have Donovan Edwards coming back. You have Blake Corum, who, until he got hurt, was going to be in New York City for the Heisman ceremony. Probably wouldn't have won it, but he was going to be there. So you have the two-headed monster at running back. And they beat Ohio State without Blake Corum. They had Garrett, Donovan Edwards go off. He also went off in the bowl game against TCU in the playoff game. Their defense is solid. They have a lot of depth. They lost a couple pieces on the edge, but they have plenty more guys behind them. They are the team to beat, and they have such an easy schedule. They have to just worry about Penn State and Ohio State towards the end of the year. That's my pick to win the national championship, and I think they get it done this year.
Yeah, actually, I really don't hate that pick. I will say I do like Penn State this year, but those the two games for Michigan, they're going to be really tough. Like Ohio State is always a tough game for them, and then Penn State this year is going to be much improved. But yeah, man, like I do like that pick. I've been kind of off on Georgia a little bit just because it's like history is pointing against them right now. Like teams don't ever three-peat. The number one seed or the number one ranked team coming into the season never wins. So it's like history is pointing at everybody except for Georgia right now. So, but yeah, like you were saying earlier with Oregon, JJ McCarthy, returning quarterback, like that's going to be huge for them. Their running game is awesome. Like they hang their hat on that big time. And you have two you probably have the best backfield duo in all of college football right now coming back. So that's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, and the reason that I'm picking them and I think they get it done is because I think Ohio State's actually going to take a step back a little bit this year. I think Ohio State's defense is going to be much better this year, but I think their offense is going to take a little bit of a step back because of a new quarterback. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a stud. He's going to be great. They usually have really good wide receivers. They have good running backs. I just think, dude, it's hard to do what CJ Stroud did the past couple years. It's hard to keep on this trend of great quarterback play. You go back to Haskins and Barrett and Jones and Miller and so on and so on and so on. I mean, Alabama's kind of seeing it right now. It's like, hey, you had your string of quarterbacks, right? You had Tua. You had before him, you had Jalen Hurts whenever he was a freshman. You had Tua, you had Mac Jones, and you had Bryce Young. And now it's like, okay, who's your guy now? So I think it's kind of the similar thing with Ohio State. Ryan Day is still a mad scientist when it comes to offense. So, I mean, it wouldn't be too surprising for them to still be great. But I think they're going to take a little bit step back than what they were the previous seasons. And with them having to go to Ann Arbor, I think just sets up perfectly. Penn State is a really good team. It's for them, it's, hey, they have a new quarterback in Drew Aller who's been in the program the past couple of years sitting behind Sean Clifford, but he's still first-time starter. I mean, this doesn't happen until November, but it all comes down to the quarterback play for them. They have if Michigan doesn't have the best running back duo in the country, then Penn State does. It's down between those two. But I just got to give the edge to Michigan because they've proven it the past couple of years.
Yeah. And I think the good thing for them is I think we should mention that Blake Corum hurt his knee last year. So it wouldn't be surprising to see if he comes into the season just starting a little bit slower. But I mean, you have probably the best backup in all of college football right now. So I don't know. I don't think it'll affect him that much.
Yeah, no worries. And last year at the end, Blake Corum was hurt with his knee and Donovan Edwards had like a broken hand or something, so had a cast on his hand in the last two games. So he couldn't really even catch the ball, really, and be a big pass catcher. So that's fine now. So, you know, that's one less hamstring you got, actually being able to use both your hands on that. So, okay, so that's Michigan for me. Where else do you want to go? Where are we going in the country, Mason? All right.
So for my next one, I'm going to fly us out to the coast, baby, to the ACC. And I'm going to be talking about Clemson.
Oh, no.
Look.
Oh,
Florida
no.
Florida State is the hotness right now in the ACC. But if you remember last year, North Carolina was the hotness in the ACC. And poor little old Clemson kept getting forgotten about. And what they do, they won the conference again. And that's exactly what's going to happen again this year.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh, I nose deep in the Kool-Aid right now. Everybody's on Florida State right now. Florida State this, Florida State that. Nah. Give me Clemson right now. I am extremely high on Clemson right now. You have Cade Klubnik coming in. He started the last couple games last year after they finally decided to get rid of DJ. Dabo's still there doing his thing. Like, they're always going to be recruiting well. They're always getting talent in there. The big thing for me right now is the fact that you were able to get Garrett Riley in there as your new offensive coordinator, brother of Lincoln, the mastermind apparently right now. So the fact that they were able to get him in there, start establishing a semi-new offense around Klubnik and Will Shipley, man, I think they're going to take off again this year. I think they're going to have a really good year. I have them going 11-1 right now. They have a bunch of questionable games, I'll say. Like, let me pull it up real quick. You're playing Florida State early, which is week 4, I believe. I think they win that. I don't think that really I don't think – like I said, I'm out on Florida State, so I think Clemson's going to win that game. But also, you're playing Notre Dame, you're playing UNC, and then you're going to South Carolina. Like, those three games are questionable to me. Like, I think they have the ability to win all three of them. And I'll say win all four of them, including Florida State in that. I don't think they get through that completely unscathed. So I think they are going to drop a game at some point this season. But I do still think they come out and win the ACC. And I think they'll be in the playoffs too. Clemson always has a solid defense. Last year, the struggle for them was offense. And it was because DJ was just a pile of dumpster. Pile of just absolute garbage last year. And so I think Klubnik's going to come in and be much improved over what DJ was last year, and you still have Will Shipley there that you can rely on coming out of the backfield. So I think their offense is going to be 10 times better this year than it was last year, and I'm definitely drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm in on Clemson this year.
That's interesting. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid as much on Clemson. I'm more on the Florida State board over here. Okay, here's my question mark for Clemson. Yes, they have Will Shipley, Cade Klubnik's coming in, and going to be the guy this year. Who's he going to throw the ball to? That's the weakness of Clemson, is the wide receivers. And it's been a few years now that they've had legitimate options at receiver. They have been questionable last year. They were pretty questionable the year before. And right now, they're questionable this year. So that's going to be the question. I mean, the thing when it comes to Garrett Riley whenever he was at TCU is that he had Quentin Johnston to throw the ball to and a lot of other speed guys outside, which was able to take the pressure off of Kendre Miller and that rushing attack. Do you have that this year? They haven't shown it. So that's the big question mark. I mean, defense is usually good. They've lost a good bit of pieces, so they have a potential freshman from Thompson possibly fighting for a starting job. I don't know. Is that because he's so good, or is that because they don't have as much depth as they normally do up front? Those are the two question marks for me for Clemson, which is why I'm leaning more Florida State, because Florida State has legit weapons everywhere on the offensive side of the ball.
So here's my argument against that. Going into last season, the week before the season started, if I would have asked you to name one player on TCU's roster, would you have been able to do it?
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, okay. And then they came out last year, and their offense was as good as it was. Max Duggan went to the dang Heisman ceremony after coming out of nowhere. And then Quentin Johnston ended up being a first-round draft pick. Kendre Miller was, I think, a third-round pick. Like, and those guys aren't half as talented as what Will Shipley and Cade Klubnik are. Like, I get what you're saying about the wide receiver room. I just think there's a world where the same thing that can happen to TCU last year can happen to Clemson this year, where because of the offensive scheme and what's happening, like, somebody can come out of nowhere.
I just think the difference is that Clemson doesn't have a first round wide receiver on this roster right now. I think that's right. Cause that makes such a big difference. You don't have, I would even venture to say they don't have a top 3-round wide receiver on this team.
Probably not.
So when you take that, to me, when you think about that, and if I'm going to compare the two team between them and Florida State, if I'm going to compare those two, I would lean Florida State because they have at least 3 wide receivers that are going to go in the first 3 rounds of the draft. They have really good running backs. And then Jordan Travis is probably at the same level. This is his 3rd year starting. It feels like, I believe it is, but it feels like 3 years, 4 years that he's been there. And so I would give him the edge over Cade. So and that's just on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I mean, I don't think either one of us has done a super big deep dive into either one's defense. Maybe you have, but
not really.
If I'm just like, if I'm sitting here and thinking the benefit of Clemson is that they get Florida State at home for sure. That's a huge benefit.
I was about to ask that. Do you think Florida State can go in there and win that game?
I think with it being so early, I don't know if they can. I think at that point, I think they lose to LSU week one. And so their back is already going to be up against the wall. The good thing for Florida State, though, is you don't have to win, and then you can play Clemson again in the conference championship game if you run the table. Because no divisions this
year. That to me is kind of why I'm out on Florida State right now, is because, I mean, I really believe that they're going to start off 2-2 to start the season. And to me, that's just a slippery slope at that point. And like you said, like they're in a good position because they can lose to LSU in week one and then lose to Clemson in week four and still be playing in the ACC championship game. But if you're losing, if you're starting off 2-2, at that point, you have zero room for error after that.
You have zero room for error, but here's the rest of the schedule for Florida State. After Clemson, you have Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke, at Wake Forest, at Pitt, Miami, North Alabama, at Florida. So it's not horrible. So
no. Yeah, it's fairly
easy. I mean, it's easier than what Clemson has. And
their most losable game out of that is probably Florida, which isn't going to hurt them at all still with the
ACC. When it comes to ACC, you're correct. I'm not going to talk playoff stuff right now and what I think on the playoff, because we'll do that in a few weeks. So I'll hold off on that. But we'll also get into the conference picks in here in a second. But I mean, I totally get where you're coming from with Clemson. I mean, they have the track record. Dabo has earned the right of, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I think this is the season where it runs out if he doesn't live up to the name of Clemson. He loses the benefit of the doubt if he doesn't come through this year with an actual improved and get to the playoff.
He's got to get to the playoffs this year.
He's got to get to the playoffs this year. And if not, then it goes back to, okay, you're just Clemson.
Yeah.
In a week at ACC conference with really one other team that you're really competing with this year. So, Clemson. Got it. All right. Now let's move over into the Longhorn State in Austin, Texas. This is my other team that I'm picking in the national championship. It's the Texas Longhorns. Ooh. I'm coming out fire in early this year, Mason. So you've already got my picks for the Natty. I have Michigan and Texas fighting each other for the national championship. And I think this was the year that everybody should have been pointing to for Texas to really make that run under Steve Sarkisian. You have Quinn Ewers coming back for a full season, year number two under Sark. You have Xavier Worthy. You have studs at wide out. I mean, yeah, you lost Bijan and you lost Roshan Johnson at running back, but you still have some studs behind them that are now coming up and stepping into roles. A question mark for this team last year was offensive line, and they were a lot better than I think everybody expected. Their defense has a lot of transfer guys that have come in really key spots. Their defensive line has really shaped up, and a player that you need to keep your eye on when you're watching Texas is a transfer safety, Jalen Catalon. Does that name sound familiar, Mason? Because it should. He played for Arkansas the past 3 years. He got injured early on last year, but he was a all SEC defensive back that transferred to Texas this offseason. He is a game changer. And I think this is the year that Texas finally breaks through. They go through and push through their expectations and finally win the Big 12 in their last year there and make it to the playoffs. And once you make it to the playoffs, anything can happen. I think they make the Natty, but I think it's playoff or bust this year for Texas.
So short, you think they beat Bama?
I do.
That's the problem I'm having right now with Alabama's quarterback competition. But I'm talking about Texas, so I won't get into that.
No, go ahead and talk. I mean, hey, we'll talk the Alabama and Texas game, all right?
We'll save it. We'll save it. But no, man, I completely agree with you. I loved the Sark hire when they first made it. I think he's a really good coach, and he's got them going in the right direction. The performance that they put up against Alabama last year really opened my eyes to what they could be Unfortunately, Quinn Ewers got hurt for a little bit, and they were a little shaky there in the middle. He's coming in this year, and he seems like a completely different dude. Like, he shaved the mullet off. He actually looks like a grown man at this point. Like, I think they're going to have a really good year, and I think they probably lose to Alabama.
with that Alabama bias, is that what I see here? Who's maybe playing quarterback, Mason?
But no, honestly, I think Quinn Ewers is probably the second or third best quarterback in the nation right now, probably behind Caleb Williams. I would put him and Drake May battling for 2 and 3. But, I mean, after that, I think he's pretty much locked in since top three right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all on Quinn Ewers. And I think you and I both really like the Sark hire at Texas. People didn't really realize how bad of a shape Texas was in. I think they never really understood how bad of a shape Texas was in when he got there. But it was. They were in bad shape. They didn't know how to play full games. Which they found out his first year. Last year was another kind of growing year, and it didn't help that Quinn got hurt and dealing with injuries and still trying to figure it out, being a transfer and all that kind of stuff. And so now he has a full offseason. He knows he's the guy. He's got multiple weapons, not just Xavier Worthy on the outside. He has multiple guys that he can go to outside. And they have A.D. Mitchell from Georgia, the wide receiver at Georgia, transferring in, and he's a game changer, dude. Like, he is a legit.
Yeah, big time.
If any other team, he's a wide receiver one, but because Xavier Worthy's on this team, he's two. And that's a really solid 1-2 punch on the outside.
And the other thing about that, too, is their tight end is awesome. If Brock Bowers didn't exist, their tight end would probably be the best college tight end in the country right now.
And that's just offense. And their defense is getting – the knock on Texas is stopping the run. Are they going to be able to stop the run this year is going to be the big question for them. I think they have improved the defensive line, and I think they took a lot of great steps. I mean, the two areas – that we were really interested in seeing and that we saw in the Bama game that was really encouraging if you're a Texas fan is your offensive line held up and your defense was able to stand their ground. Now, it wasn't consistent all year, and that's still something you have to kind of deal with a new team second year in, which just makes what people like Brian Kelly do in year one at some of these programs absolutely amazing on what you were able to do. But, I mean, you're still – getting your culture set up. You're still getting the way that you want to get things done set up. You're still trying to get guys to buy in. And I think they're fully bought in now. And I think they really take off this year. I mean, you play Rice and you play Bama to open up. That's tough going into Tuscaloosa. It's just the reason I'm picking Texas is because we don't even know who Bama's starting quarterback is. And that's a big deal. It's a huge deal on what they're going to do. And it's who knows, man. And then the thing with Big 12 is that you never freaking know who's going to be the team that just like comes out of nowhere and just beats anybody. I mean, last year it was TCU. Year before that, it was Baylor. I mean, Kansas State won the conference last year. Everybody forgets it wasn't TCU that even won the conference last year. It was Kansas State. So it's one of those conferences that has just, for whatever reason, Texas just hasn't been able to get their hold on it like Oklahoma had been. But Oklahoma's down. I don't think they're still going to be that great. And so, I think Texas is the only team in this conference that can make the playoff, and I think they'll do it.
You've got my mind racing at this point because I cannot for the life of me remember who their coach was before Sark.
It was Tom Herman.
Oh, that's right. He's not even coaching anymore.
He might be in the NFL.
I don't think he is.
He might be like a coordinator, right, position. He took a couple years off, and then
he's like a special assistant or something. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. And now you have me curious. So we're gonna look it up.
What a name,
Herman.
Remember, he was supposed to.
He was the savior, man.
Hotness. Yeah,
he was the guy where was he? Where was he before Texas?
Was it Houston?
Yeah, it was Houston. I think it was Houston. Houston. Let's see. He's with the Chicago Bears as an assistant coach.
Yeah, look at that. Tom Herman.
Well, he might be at FAU now.
I would have never remembered that.
He took a job at FAU this past offseason. So he's at Florida Atlantic.
Wow.
What a fall from grace. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so that's Texas. Is there anybody else you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of good too. So let's get into our next thing, Mason. You have something a little fun for us. Why don't you go ahead and talk about it?
All right, so last year we did a couple of head-to-head things, so I wanted to come up with a couple more for us to do this year. So we are going to be drafting four teams that are currently ranked out of the top 25 in the AP poll. And what we're going to do is we're going to put together a scoring system for that, and we're going to tally up the points for the total for the entire year and see who came out on top. So basically what it's going to be is you get 1 point for every win, or you get 1 point for every win that that team, that one of the teams that you pick gets, and you lose 2 points every time they lose a game. So if, let's just say, I'll just throw out Oregon. Let's say Oregon goes 10-2. Obviously you can't pick Oregon. They're inside the top 25. You have to go outside. Just don't know. But let's say Oregon goes 10-2. You would get 10 points for the win. Then you would lose 4 points for two losses. So you're sitting at 6 points. I can do math.
Look at you doing math. Quick math at that. Look at, man, I'm impressed. So we did a coin flip to see who would pick first, because we obviously can't pick the same teams, because what sense would that make? So I end up getting first pick. How great is that? So my number one pick, number one pick, Mason, is going to be UCLA.
Oh.
With the Fighting Chip Kelly.
Okay. That's interesting. Thankfully, you left my number one team on the board for me, and I will be rolling with the Red Raiders and going with Texas Tech.
Okay, whenever I was a little worried there that you were going to go for my other dark horse team here, and I'm going with the Louisville Cardinal, because their schedule lines up really well.
They were on my board. They were on my board. I have to give that to you. All right, so you got UCLA and Louisville. I have Texas Tech, and for my second pick, I'm actually going to go with Kentucky.
Wow.
I'm gonna go with Kentucky. I don't feel great about it, but I'm gonna go with it.
Well, we're gonna stick in the same division, Mason, because I gotta go with my boys. I gotta go with the South Carolina Gamecocks, man. It's a layup. It's a layup, Mason. Okay.
I should have seen that coming. I don't know why I wasn't more prepared for you to do that.
If they're there, I'm going to pick them.
So thankfully, you left another one of my teams on my board. I'm actually going to go with the Fighting Mike Gundys and take Oklahoma State.
Fighting Mike Gundys. Okay. That's a bold move, Mason. That's a bold move. I'm going to stick to the same conference, though, for my last pick and go with Mr. Steady, Mr. Calm and Cool Collected, Dave Aranda, and the Baylor Bears.
Okay. Dang, so that is, what, three Big 12 teams taken off the board. That shows you a little something right there. Okay. You got me twisted now. Fighting for my life right now. I don't know where I should go. Do I go, maybe I should take Vanderbilt since we're week zero.
If you want to be in the negatives, you go right ahead. Please take them.
I'm actually going to get crazy with it, and I'm going to go with the Pitt Panthers.
Okay. No, Iowa? Oh, they're in the top 25. Sorry about
that. They're in the top 25.
They barely squeaked in.
I didn't have to. Yeah, so that's it. So I'll run through it real quick. So I have Texas Tech, Kentucky, Oklahoma State, and Pittsburgh. And you have UCLA, Louisville, South Carolina, and Baylor.
Look out for those teams, because it's a winner. The four that I picked are winners, Mason. Okay.
So what?
I like my teams. I like my teams. So we'll come back to that at the end of the season, the week before conference championships, probably after conference championships, actually. And then we'll see how we did there. We have a couple other things that are coming up in the next couple weeks for the full season. So stay tuned for that. So let's get to our last segment here for this episode. And we're going to go ahead and pick conference winners. I'll go ahead and give you the favorites, the top two favorites of each conference. We'll go in order. So we'll start with the ACC. We just kind of talked about and really kind of had a debate on this earlier, but we'll go ACC. Yeah. Clemson currently on FanDuel is the favorite at plus 150 with Florida State just behind them at plus 170. And then there's a huge drop for Tide at third for Pitt and North Carolina at plus 1100. So, I mean, it's a two horse race right now. Who you got winning it?
Have Clemson winning
it. Not so fast, my friend. Thank you, Lee Corso. Love you. Okay. Florida State is going to win the ACC. I got them winning it.
Lee Corso, we love you. It's time to retire.
Please retire. Don't put yourself through this. Don't put us through this. All right. We don't need to see this. It's rough enough. Okay. Go out on top. That's what you should have done 3 years ago. Next, we got the Big Ten, which to me is a little surprising who the favorite is. They have Ohio State as the favorite in the Big Ten at plus 165, followed by Michigan at plus 180. And then next would be Penn State at plus 600. So a bit of a drop there. And then at fourth is Wisconsin at plus 800. So who do you like in the Big Ten? I think we already know who I like, but who do you like?
So I'm actually going to go with Michigan also. I think there's just a little bit too many question marks surrounding Ohio State for me right now. But I will say we really do need to keep a close eye on Penn State this year. I think they're going to have a solid year, and they could very easily sneak into that conversation and knock off one of those two teams. But I am going to go with Michigan.
Yeah, I think Penn State's going to be really solid again this year. It's just unfortunate that they play these two teams and are in the same division. That's kind of the downfall. It's kind of the same effect of like an Auburn has playing Georgia and Alabama, or LSU having to play Alabama and all the teams in the West and all this. It's just it handicaps you for sure. I'm going Michigan, obviously. Go Wolverines. They're going to win it. I think I'm like you. I think Penn State actually beats Ohio State this year. So I think they actually come second in that division, but lose to Michigan. So I'm going Michigan as well. We'll go ahead and go to the Big 12, which we already talked about. One of the teams, the favorite of the conference is Texas at plus 100, followed by Oklahoma at plus 420, followed by Kansas State at plus 500, and then a big drop off down to Texas Tech at plus 1100. So who you got in the Big 12?
I think this is going to come down to Texas and Kansas State, but I am leaning toward Texas this year. I think they just have too much firepower right now, and it's going to be hard for everybody else to compete with them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Texas and Kansas State play each other in the conference championship game, but I like Texas coming out on top. Kansas State's a real solid team. I mean, they lost Deuce Vaughn, but they're still really solid. Got a lot of guys coming back, and it's just the brand of football they play is going to make them be in every single game they play. But I like Texas winning it as well. Now down to the Pac-12. USC is the favorite at plus 200, followed by Washington at plus 320, followed by Oregon at plus 340, then Utah at plus 550. UCLA is actually next at plus 1,000, and Oregon State following them at plus 1,200. So if there's going to be a conference that we don't pick the favorite, I feel like it's going to be this one. So who do you like in the Pac-12?
You could tell me any of the top four teams that you just named win this conference, and I would 100% agree with you. I think, to me, it's going to come down to Oregon and Washington, and I would lean Oregon. But, gosh. I'm going Oregon, but Utah really scares me, if we're being honest. Like, Utah scares me more than USC does for some reason, but it's also because, like, Utah's been kind of quietly running this conference for the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, they have, man.
But, yeah, I'm going to go.
You talk about bully ball with Alabama in this preseason. That is what Utah plays, is bully ball. It's, like you said, they have ran the conference. the past couple of years. They're a good pick. I just think their schedule is super, super tough this year, which is why I don't think Utah makes the conference championship. I like Oregon like you do. And the reason I'm going to pick Oregon over Washington is because I think Oregon is going to be able to run the football better and be able to control the game better than Washington might be able to. But if you're in a track and field game with Washington, they win. It's just as simple as that. But if there's any team that be able to control that, I think it's Oregon. And I would like Oregon as well. All right, last conference champion that we're going to pick is going to be the SEC, which we've already done our preview of the two divisions the past couple of weeks. So if you want to listen to that, go ahead and look at those two episodes for us. Right now, I think the obvious conference favorite right now is Georgia at -110, which is crazy. Bama at +300, then LSU at +460. And there's a huge drop down to Tennessee at +1500, followed by somehow Texas A&M at +2000. So I'm like, it's not like they're close, but it's still that they're fifth on this list. Who do you like in the SEC, Mason?
I'm Homer here. I'm going with Bama.
Playing quarterback.
I don't think that Georgia is going to win the conference. I think Jalen Milroe is going to start the season, and I think Ty Simpson finishes the season. And that's kind of why I'm struggling with it right now for the Texas game, because I feel like, to me, Ty Simpson has the higher ceiling. He has the higher upside than Jalen Milroe, but I don't think he's ready to play yet, and I don't think you can throw him out there and expect us to go out and win the game against Texas. So it would not surprise me if they try and play it a little bit safer. I say safer with quotation marks, because I don't think you can necessarily say that Jalen Milroe is safe, but he does have a different aspect to his game than Ty Simpson that you can bring to the field against Texas. So I do think Milroe starts off the season, and I think he'll lose the job at some point to Ty Simpson.
So you're going Bama to win the conference.
But for the conference. Yeah, I'm going with Bama. I don't think Georgia's going to repeat, so I do think this is actually going to come down to Bama LSU.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a bet between Georgia and the field, I'm taking the field for sure, without any doubts. Yeah. I don't think Georgia wins it this year. I think we kind of talked about that being with our quarterback play and wide receiver play. Not really sure where they're at. And you also are fighting against complacency, which Kirby hasn't really had to deal with except at Alabama as an assistant. So we'll see how they do with that. I don't think they'll win it all this, or win the conference this year. And I'm going to be a homer as well. LSU is going to win the conference, Mason, because we actually have a quarterback. We have two quarterbacks. One of them is going to start and is going to be one of the favorites for the Heisman. He's top three in the Heisman right now. And we're just going to win the conference, and we're going to go to the CFP. So that's what's going to happen. All right. So I think it's going to be LSU and Tennessee in the SEC championship game. I'm calling my shot. I already called it.
Oh, wow. You're going Tennessee. Okay,
LSU, Tennessee in the conference championship game.
Yeah, I still think Georgia will make the championship game. I just don't think they're going to win. But I don't know. I just Georgia kills me. They killed me last week when we were talking about this. It's going to be so hard for them to actually find a game to lose. Whereas with Tennessee, they could very easily lose to Bama and lose to Georgia at that point. So I would still go with Georgia.
You're not ready to fully pull the trigger on the Georgia hate like I am. That's fine. No, I've been hit. Listen, if you listened to our podcast last year when we did our previews, you would have heard me say that I'm not a believer in Kirby until he actually does the two-peat. And he proved me wrong by winning the two-peat. But I'm going to stick to my guns, and there's not going to win a three-peat. He's a great coach. He's awesome. Georgia's a great program. But this just isn't going to be the year for them with a new OC, new quarterback, fighting complacency, all the stuff that's been happening in the offseason with the spotlight. I just don't think it's going to be the year this year. They'll be a really good team. They're going to lose to Tennessee, and they won't make it to Atlanta. That's just how it's going to be. Maybe I'm not saying they don't back into the CFP, because they could just lose to Tennessee and not make the conference championship game and still make it to Atlanta or make it to the CFP, but I don't think they make Atlanta.
Yeah, there are so many outcomes I can happen with Georgia this year. It's insane.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. A little bit shorter episode, Mason. I think we did good. Under an hour. So, yeah, we'll come back next week. We're going to kind of be focused on personnel heavy players to watch. We're going to talk Heisman hype, who we like for the Heisman, all that kind of good stuff. So tune in next week as we continue our preview for the season, because we are 3.5 weeks away from kickoff. We'll catch you guys next time.